Continuing our series for this year, Jesus is in, as we know that the scripture testifies about Jesus. I shared, I think last Sunday, but you know, Jesus said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are the very scriptures that testify about me. And so we look through the Bible as we've been going through each of these books, and we're looking at how we can see Jesus and hear his message long before the Gospels, as we're going through the Old Testament, long before the Gospels shared his words with us. But we can see that even the Old Testament is setting us up and pointing to Jesus, just as he says in the scripture here. As we come to Ezra for today, that song that inspired this series, He Is, mentions Ezra as the true and faithful scribe. We also, some other sources that I've read about in Jesus and Ezra, talk about even Zerubbabel. Jesus is personified in him, and we read about the rebuilding of the temple in Ezra chapter 4. And others, he's the rebuilder of broken down walls of human life. As we look at how Ezra was involved in the life of God's people. And really, sometimes we forget how it was structured in the Jewish, what we call the Jewish scriptures, the Jewish Bible. Ezra and Nehemiah were really considered one book. And then as we put what we know as the Old Testament and the New Testament together, it got rearranged and broken in two and put at the end of the history that we find, where we find it right here in the Bible. But Ezra and Nehemiah sort of go together, and we see the rebuilding of the altar and the rebuilding of the temple in Ezra. And then in Nehemiah, we see the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the city, and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. But Nehemiah's for next week. So, but I just wanted to give you that there's a connection there between Ezra and Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra is mentioned there. It says that Ezra got up to read the law of Moses and to share it with all the people. That in fact, there, if you read in Nehemiah chapter 8, that all the people gathered at this gate of Jerusalem as one people. And Ezra got up, he was on a stage, and everyone could see Ezra as he began to read the law of Moses. Now, here's the kicker. I don't know if any of you are ready for this. He read the law of Moses from daybreak until noon. And all the people stood as they listened to Ezra from daybreak till noon. Well, I'm just going to ask you just for a few minutes, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zeriah, the son of Uzi, the son of Bukkai, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. And some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. The word of God for the people of God. For today, I'd like for us to sort of concentrate on this verse 10. I don't know if you can pick up some words there as we see what Ezra was devoted to. He was devoted to study and to observance, and to teach. He's devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So as we think about study and observe and teach today, I created my own quote. Sometimes we quote others. I created my own quote today. So if you want to quote me later, that's fine with me. What we study with our mind impacts what we practice or observe in our soul, which empowers our witness or our teaching to those around us. What we study with our mind impacts what we practice in our soul, which empowers our witness to those around us. Study, do, and teach. So we think about studying, as we look at Israel's situation here, they're on their way back from exile in Babylon. God had allowed the Babylon to conquer them, to destroy Jerusalem, and take them, many of them, most of them, over to Babylon. And they'd stayed there for some 70 years in exile. And we can read about all that in other places in Scripture. And now they're on their way back. And it's almost like when they left Egypt. Not exactly like, as my dad would say, exactly the same, only different. But it's still that process of going back to the land God had promised. That being released from where they were, in this case it was exile. In Egypt it was slavery under Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But here they're coming back from exile. And they're finding Jerusalem and the temple in ruins, just as it had been destroyed some 70 years before. And they realize that they and we are created for worship. That's what God created for us to do. At the very core of our being is to worship. Now his desire is that we worship him. That void that we have, that something that sometimes we know we're missing, is the worship of him. Sometimes other things get in our way. But as we study what we need to be doing, the Israelites realize we need to worship God. And after the exile, not that they weren't worshiping in Babylon, but they wanted that place to worship again. And so they rebuilt the altar and they rebuilt the temple. And we read about that here in Ezra in the previous chapters. They wanted to worship. In chapter 6, ahead of the scripture today, They finished the temple. They dedicated the temple. And they were able to celebrate Passover there in the ruins of Jerusalem, the city, but around the rebuilt temple and the altar within it. They found themselves in this place of rebuilding and reviving. They were struggling in Babylon. There were those who stayed faithful in Babylon. But they were yearning to be in a place where they could worship God the way they wanted to worship him. You know, the temple of Ezra's time is pretty plain looking compared to Solomon's magnificent temple that we read about in earlier scripture. It was just a place that they wanted to build and just dedicate to the time and worship of God. And as we begin to think about studying what it is God wants us to do, we must start at the altar. That's where we need to go spiritually. Not necessarily a physical altar, but we need to come to that altar where we say to God, I'm giving this to you, Lord. I want to worship you. I want to have a spiritual reset. I want to get back on track. Whatever words you want to use and whatever fits into your life, into mine. But we need to come to the altar so that we can study. Why is it important to study? To learn. To dive into. Lots of synonyms we can use for this word study. Study sounds like school, and some of us are glad we're not in school anymore. But this yearning of learning more, of wanting to seek out what it is God has to share with us. What's important to study, because as we come to the altar, we will come to realize, and as other scriptures testify to it, we are a living temple. The Holy Spirit has come to reside in each Christian. And the New Testament says we have become the temple of God. We don't have to go to Jerusalem, as we read here in Ezra. We don't have to find that altar there wherever the temple may be. We can go there spiritually. Study with the Master as he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit and speaks to us through these words that we find in his word. As we study. And we study because it's important to continue to build, continue to change, to continue to improve. And it don't matter what age you are or what status in life. I know we don't like change, but change comes whether we like it or not. Why not embrace it and allow God's word as we study it to help us with that building and with that changing and with that improving? An example that comes to my mind is most of us have visited big city hospitals, but you don't even have to go to big city hospitals to see this effect. But the bigger ones that have been around a long time, I know Christ Hospital and some of the other hospitals are maybe too, but I know Christ Hospital, they've added on wings and floors and this and that and all that. If you can find the main lobby to begin with, they have colored lines on the floor. If you need to get to such and such wing, you just follow the yellow line, follow the blue line, follow this. And I know other hospitals have ways of getting you to the right place. And there's nooks and crannies and places the employees, the doctors and nurses go that you can't get to, but because they've been adding on. But I say it's just not the big city. As we drive through Batesville now, you can look up on the hill and see Margaret Mary there in Batesville, and you can see the old building, and then there's this newer piece, and then there's a really nicer, newer piece, which is probably 40 years old now, but the original piece is, 1900 or something. They've just been adding on. They've been changing and adapting as they learn more about this body God created and how to take care of it for the people of their community. Now, every once in a while, you get something that's just totally brand new. If you've been to Mercy West, that's brand new just in the last 5 years, from the ground up. But a lot of the other established ones, you could get lost in there if they didn't have those painted lines. They've adapted and changed. And spiritually, our lives can be like that. The temple that God is building within us, we're just building upon that and changing and adapting as we study. And that's why it's important to study His Word. It's why it's important to allow Him to speak to us so that we can learn what it is that we need to change or adapt. Much of it stays the same. There's a lot of foundational in here. We don't want to change the foundation, but we need to change the way we're approaching life, the way we're approaching situations and circumstances of life, the way we're approaching and sharing with others. It's important to study. And we see Ezra in our scripture today. He was dedicated to that. A few verses earlier in our scripture today, he said he was well-versed in God's law. But not only should we study, we need to practice it, or we need to do it. James puts it pretty bluntly: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Probably one reason, if you can find another word that still means study but isn't study, so many of us go back to school and we're thinking, I just need to get this study so I can pass the test tomorrow. Then after we pass the test, whew, glad I'm done with that. But really studying, really learning, really absorbing it is so we can take that and it affects all our tomorrows, not just the tests that we know about in the morning. We need to do what it says, more than just the head knowledge to get by for tomorrow, but allow it to teach us what we need to be doing to take care of all of our tomorrows on into the future. My dad, back when we were kids, and I don't know how many of you have had this situation, but he was on a kick there for a while that he thought it'd be nice to have an aquarium. All those fish running around, they look nice. You put the light on there, and it is pretty to watch the fish floating around. And when you first get it all together, you get the fish in there, you got their little houses that they swim around, and the fake seaweed sticking up, all those little things in the aquarium. Guess who had to feed those fish from time to time? There's about four or five of us that had to do that. Dad did too, but Dad wasn't around. Make sure you feed the fish. But the other thing he had to do was constantly check the water and constantly clean. And there was filters and stuff going too, but you also had to clean that aquarium, because if you didn't, then algae would get in there and destroy the habitat for the fish. Spiritually, that's what we need to do as we practice. We're practicing and we're doing whatever it is we've studied and learned. We're practicing and doing so we can clean up the tank. And we can keep the algae from growing or get rid of the algae and then do the things to prevent it from growing. Now, algae in this particular analogy is sin. None of us are perfect. Sherry just pointed that out about me today. None of us are perfect. Yes, we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray everyone in this room does. But we're still not perfect. And I'm glad His blood forgives me and forgives you of that imperfection. But it still wants to come in. And so as we study and learn, as we practice and do, the benefit of that is we can push it out. We can clean it out. And one of the ways we do that is to focus on the fundamentals. One of the best ways to do is to focus on those fundamentals. Great athletes become great at fundamentals before they become great at the game. And that's true for you and I as Christians. If we want to be more dedicated, the word that used in our scripture today is Ezra is, we need to be doing the fundamentals. And then as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, we'll find that He'll take care of giving us a good game or even a great game. And Ezra was dedicated to teaching. I don't know if you've noticed. You probably have, but maybe you didn't think about it in this way. But we all teach, whether we think we're teaching or not. Because people are watching. People are listening. Children watch. Grandchildren watch and listen. It was sad the day my dad told me this. He said, I saw you getting on Stephen. He said, I thought it was a little unjustified what you were doing. Us grandparents sometimes feel that way too. He said, I almost opened my mouth and then I realized I was looking in a mirror because he saw himself in the way I was acting. Because I watched and learned what he taught and he felt ashamed of what he had taught me. People are watching us, and we are teaching them whether we think we are or not. And you can see it come back at you in your children. You see it in your coworkers. We can see it in one another. So what is it we're teaching then becomes the question. As we look at Ezra, if you read Ezra and what they're trying to accomplish here as they come back from exile and what God is doing in his people, you see that Ezra wasn't just trying to get people back to the good old days. There was a sense of a new beginning, a hopeful future. There was something special yet to come. As we look at Scripture as a whole, you know, so often, and I've used this phrase myself, but I may have to rethink it as I've learned from this lesson today for myself. You know, the Old Testament looks at Jesus from the past, looks at Jesus. And then we'll say, well, then the New Testament looks back to Jesus and to the Gospels. And while there is truth to that as we study Scripture, when we really look at the whole thing, I believe, as I've learned something for myself today, that God has always been looking forward. Yes, the Old Testament points to Jesus coming the first time, and we read about that in the Gospels. But God is not done there. He says, keep on going. And we see the spread of the gospel message throughout the world. And God says, don't stop there. Keep on going. And we can read about Revelation. And God says, there's not an end game because there's never an end to it. But he said, there is a place we're all heading into eternity. And that's the message even clear back here in Ezra. There were folks, as you read through Ezra and Nehemiah and some of the other historical things, it's good to be back in Jerusalem. And some of them wanted to create the good old days. And I believe God's saying through Ezra, and to us even today, the good old days were good. I got something better. How about we keep going forward? The foundation's there. But change and adapt like those hospitals do. Change and adapt to the current needs and the future hope that God has already placed out there through Jesus Christ. What are we teaching? God is looking forward to Revelation, not backward to Genesis. The past is there for us to learn. Nothing wrong with the past. It's there for us to learn, the good and the bad. The good to replicate and change and adapt to keep moving forward. The bad to hopefully keep it back there. So it's there for us to learn, but not to dwell there. Because the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is that direction, not back there. That's what Ezra came to Jerusalem to share with the people of God. As they rebuilt the altar, as they rebuilt the temple, God has a future. There is hope in him. Now we know that Jesus was a big part of that hope. And he still is for today, but also for the future. That's what we are teaching to those around us. We're teaching hope in Jesus. As we come to the altar, as we study, as we observe and practice what we've studied, as we teach to those around us in our actions and sometimes in our words, but always in our actions. As we think of the building of the temple, I think of Paul's words that he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." Ezra had a part in restoring the altar, in restoring and rebuilding the temple when they returned from the exile from Babylon and back into Jerusalem. Ezra made the word of God known. Jesus is the foundation to that altar and temple. We are the temple. Jesus is the word, and Jesus is in Ezra. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this man, Ezra, his devotion to your law, to studying it, to observing it, to teaching it. Father, help each of us to discover that same devotion, that we might each day continually learn more about you and what you would have us to do in our lives, in our place, in the world around us. Father, we thank you for the hope that you have always shared with your people. We thank you that we know it to be the hope we have in Jesus Christ. But we know it was the same hope Ezra was sharing, the coming Messiah. But Father, help us not to dwell in the past and not necessarily get stuck here in the present, but enjoy the present. But always remind us of the future and the hope that all have through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.